Okay. Bez Hashem, I want to talk a little bit about Rav Chaim Zatzal. I'm going to be basing myself on Rabbi David Shlita spoke about him in Shul, and I listened online to a lot of Rav Asher Weiss Shlita and Rav Aaron Feldman Shlita and a few others.
I heard Rav Aaron Feldman is very good.
I heard it. Okay, very good. Okay. Let's begin. Thank you. Okay. Before I start, I want to start by quoting Rav Aaron Feldman Shlita. He told the following story. That once he heard the following from a big rav in England. Once in England, the rabbanim were talking about who are the biggest rabbanim in England, like 40, 50 years ago. Yeah, sure, yeah. And he said the greatest rav in England now is Zuchesko Avramsky. And the third greatest rav is so and so. And the fourth greatest rav is so and so. They said, well, sir, who's the second? He said, Avramsky's so big. No one's second to Avramsky. Second implies like there's someone like he's second. You're third. There's no one who's that close you can call him the second. That's exactly what applies to Rav Chaim. He was on a different level completely, which we'll be discussing Bezrat Hashem, complete mastery of Kol Torah Kula, and we'll be discussing it. And in our generation, where we're holding now, there is no second. He was in a different category. I felt it was exactly the right thing that Aaron Feldman said. So number one, Rav Chaim was an ish chesed, 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 chesed. He gave and gave and gave. He saw people, thousands and thousands of people. It's incredible. You talk to anyone. I went to Rav Chaim. I was with a group of Rav Chaim. Everyone saw him. Thousands and thousands of people he went to. Hours and hours of giving brachos to people, giving chizuk. He gave chizuk to everyone, anyone and everyone. He gave chizuk to everyone. It was unbelievable. Thousands and thousands of people. Religious, non-religious, Haredi, whoever, Mesorati, he gave Tesla. Everyone came to him. There's an article here in the back, on the fourth page, you can read it later, about a guy, a non-religious person, who went to Rav Chaim to see what it was like. He was just so impressed. He felt he saw something authentic, and it wasn't about money, it's just about giving people chizuk, volunteering his time, and he said, I visited the rabbi a number of times. Each time I saw people leaving there with their faces shining, reassured and uplifted by the faith that the rabbi instilled within them. That's what it is. He gave lots of brachos and this and that, but everyone left in more uplifted because your meeting, we'll get to this. Rabbi Opiansky Shlita wrote a beautiful article. He was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what he was. He was the Kodesh HaKadoshim of our generation. And it just uplifted you. It just uplifted you. He gave so much of his time, hours and hours. You know, people used to give. Now that's number one. Giving of his time, You can't imagine. We'll see more in a few minutes how impressive that. Why that's so meaningful. Number two, brisim all over the country. Are you aware of this? For decades, I don't know exactly how long. For several decades, he'd be a sanzik anywhere in the country. He'd have five or six a day. All over the country. You aware of this? The crate? I read about it only recently. Be'er Sheva here, and they would organize it, just giving people chizuk and simcha. I saw in an article something very deep. That's how other rabbis, other rabbanim in other cities got to know him better. He'd come to a city to be a tzaddik. All the big Rosh Yeshiva and Rosh Kolos was waiting in line with their kashas, and he'd answer the kashas one out. And so one way that people began to know who he was outside of Bnei Brak, that's interesting. Anyway, you know how much time? He was learning in the car, and he was learning. And he said, they set up the car that he could learn well. It's not the same. It's not the same as learning in your room, and you know, with no distractions. So for him to give up his time, let's say he learned 99.5% intensity, but still, it's not exactly the same. It's amazing. He gave up so much of his time. There's a famous picture you saw. There's a picture of a Chaim sitting on a rock learning Gemara, and the Rebbetzin saying Tehillim because their car broke down. Oh my gosh, the car broke down. If you're on the road for like 3 or 4 hours a day for 20 years, the car's going to break down once in a while. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, it happens. You know what I mean? So that's number two, the chesed of debrisim. Number three, he wrote answers. Could be aware of this. For decades, people he'd write back answers, short answers. Every culture, every community has their pastime. Like in America, the national pastime is baseball, whatever it is. In England, maybe it's soccer, I don't know. In the Israeli Haredi world, the national pastime for 50 years was to write to Rav Chaim and he'll write you back. I did it. It was like you write a question out, you put in a self-addressed stamped postcard, he writes his name and address on the back of the postcard, and he answers your questions. Now, and I got one question, we'll talk about it after Pesach, and I got a seven-word answer. Ayin ber halacha resh simen zayin. And it was amazing. So he did this, and he spent time on this. And there are stories, we'll get to it later. Like, his son saw he was writing, erasing, and write it again. Why are you spending so much time? I'm writing to a 10-year-old. I want to make sure he understands. So he's giving up of his time. I don't know how many letters he wrote. I'm guessing hundreds of thousands. He did this every day for 40 or 50 years. So Reb Chaim was a tremendous ish chesed, giving up his time to people, giving everyone chizuk. Okay. Number two, limud ha-Torah. His asmada, his chayvus, that's the word he made up. We know he chazed kol tokul every year. This is there's a list here. There's a list here on the, I guess on the fourth page. Yeah, the list there of what he learned every day. He learned 11 pages of Zohar, 10 prakim of Tehillim, 8 prakim of Nach, 10 simanim Mishtabura, 8 prakim Rambam, 10 simanim Tur Shulchan Aruch. I don't think he included the Beis Yosef, I don't think. 8 daf of Babli, the equivalent of Yerushalmi, 8 prakim of Bidrashim, Kitvei Ari, Kitvei Aramchal. So every year, he made a siyum on all of that. So every year he made a siyum on Zohar, Tanakh, Mishneh Berurah, Rambam, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Shas Bavli, Tosefta, Yerushalmi, Midrashim, and the Kitvei Arizal and the Ramchal. It's unbelievable. He called it Chovos. In other words, he divided everything up by 54 days, and for that day he had a Chov. Chov means an obligation. I have to learn that much that day. He called him Chovos. And like until he did his Chovos, he was like nervous that he had to finish his Chovos. And there's a famous story. One of his kids got married, and one of the Shevet Brachos, he didn't go to. And he told the mechutan, you know, I can't go. Oh, you can't come? No, I have chovos. I have to take care of it. So the guy thought, you know, the rav thought, oh, he owes people money. Chovos means you have, like, financial obligation. Maybe I can help you out. I can help you out with your chovos. He said, no. These chovos you can't help me with. This is learning chovos. During the wedding, he fell behind in his learning a little. So he had to skip sheriff brachos. You got that? That's a good one. These chovos you can't help me with. That's what he did every day. Now, that's why he did this buha thing. Right? For many years he said bracha v'atzlacha, that was his bracha. Around 15 years ago he switched to buha, beis vav hei. Why? Like a joke, buha is around a half second shorter than bracha v'atzlacha. But if you do it like 500 times a day, so 500 half seconds is 250 seconds, that's 4 minutes. 4 minutes is another daf gemara with half of Tosfos, or whatever the number is. So that's why he switched to buha. You holding it? That's why he did buha. A friend of mine told me the following story. He knows the guy it had happened to. The guy came and gave him a lot of money for a yeshiva or something. And he said, buha. He said, Rebbe, I gave you a big donation. Can't I get a bigger bracha? He said, buha. Reb Chaim had a great sense of humor. That's a good one. We'll have other examples. He had a great sense of humor. Totally normal. Buha. They just told the most amazing ma'aser. The disciples were told Reb Chaim, don't give shir. Don't be a magid shir. Don't take over yeshiva. You should just be learning all the time. That's why Reb Chaim never had any official positions, because the Sefer saw that his job is to be the one who constantly learns. The one time he gave shir was when the Sefer was Nifter, that's his father, Reb Chaim gave a Yerushalmi shir for a year, and until the Yahrzeit, and when they finished the Yahrzeit, he was in the middle of Shabbos, he spent another month or two till they finished Shabbos, then he stopped. And they said, but Rebbe, people like the shir, they want to come to the shir. He said, no, it takes me too long to prepare. It's how long? 5 minutes. That's what he said. The 5 minutes preparation, he said, I can't take the 5 minutes away. And that's why he stopped giving the Yerushalmi shir. Why is this important? When you read this, almost superhuman, what he did every day, that makes the chesed much more meaningful. You hear what's happening? Somebody who never stopped learning, literally never stopped learning, and had such tremendous learning obligations every day, and he felt that all of the constant learning, for him to give up so much time and go all over the country with the prism and this and writing the letters, answering 10-year-olds, that's what makes it so much more powerful. And that's why you left so uplifted, because you knew he was sacrificing for you. When you walked in there and he's focused on you and he gave you that short bracha, but he listened to your story, that's a big sacrifice. He's giving up another 10 Toseftas when he's talking to you. Now, his mastery of Bekiyas was complete. There are so many stories about this. He mastered everything. There's a great story. This story about Rav Nachum Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva, one of the Magid Yeshivas in Mir. Two guys were battling, and Rav Nachum walked by. And, Tanur Rabbanan, he said, Shachran. Doesn't say Tanur Rabbanan anywhere in Mesechus Nedarim. They weren't in Nedarim. That's a good one. So Chaim liked that story, because, you know, that's what he said. Then he said, he smiled, and he said, but it does say, did Tanur Rabbanan in one place. So that's, but Rav Chaim liked the story, it's a good story, and that's it's a complete and total shlita. It's hard to fathom the shlita that he had, that he could pull a raya out of a diuk and a medrash that no one else knew, a raya of something he was working on, just a complete shlita. There's a famous story about Moshe, the famous story that goes around. They asked him once, how many times is Moshe's name in the Torah? He mentioned the number. They said, the computer says two more. He said, nah, the Torah says Misa in one place and Mashe in another place. Mem Shin He. And the computer doesn't read the dots. So the computer thought it was Moshe, but it's mistaken. See, more than the computer. That's a famous story that's been out there for decades. But the mastery was just complete. We'll see. His kids say they never, ever, ever, ever caught him on a chazal. Ever. No, and they used to play these games with their father. We'll get to that later, Bezit Hashem. What?
The riddles.
Riddles, yeah. Okay, now, I want to make a comment here. People say he spoke about, he knew Bekiyas. He was Be'iyun Gamor. If you know every Chazonish, you know Shas Be'iyun Gamor. If you know every, this is what I'm saying is obvious. If you know every Chazonish, you know Shas Be'iyun Gamor. Of course it's Be'iyun Gamor. If you know everything, it all fits together. I don't know what style of Be'iyun he had, but of course you know Kol Torkul Be'iyun. Of course he did. That's obvious. People emphasize the Bekiyas, but don't forget he knew everything Be'iyun too. It all fits. There's a famous story. That the Sipur, they saw the Sipur like helping build his own sukkah. They said, what about your son? He goes, no, my son learns better than I do. I'm going to build the sukkah. I want him to learn. That's what they say. Okay. Now, total mastery. And like I said, he made a siyum every year on Erev Pesach and Kol Torah Kula. The story goes, on a leap year he had an extra month. So every leap year he'd write a sefer because he had an extra month of less chovos during that month. But he wrote during, by the way, it's not true that he only wrote books during leap year. That's not true. He wrote books all the time. But the time that it was a special time was during the leap years. That's number two. Number three, major, massive Marbitz Torah. Massive Marbitz Torah everywhere. First of all, directly, he gave thousands and thousands of short answers to questions that are quoted in all the Sfarim. What happened in the last 40 years in Israel? 50 years. Person takes the topic, writes a sefer. And he takes Netilas Yadayim, writes a sefer Netilas Yadayim. And then he has 35 Lemaisa questions, and he asked Rav Chaim gave answers. So those answers, everyone's quoting them all the time. And they're not just like, yes, no, maybe. Some of them are. A lot of them are like, I'll just give you one example. You know the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gra that when you wash your hands in the morning three times, the Gra said do a fourth time. That's the Gra. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Why? Because when you do three times, so your hands are tahor, but the water which touched your hands when your hands were still tamei is on your hands. So the water has like a remnant of the tumah, so have a fourth time to rinse off the water from the third time. So Chaim said, therefore the fourth time doesn't have to be seirugin. Why did you say Rugen? You do say Rugen because they explain this based on the Zohar. To remove Tumah, you have to go back and forth. But the fourth one is not to remove Tumah, it's to rinse it off. So therefore, there's no need to do 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4. It could be 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 4. That's a good Svara. You hear that? Because the fourth one is not to remove Tumah, it's to rinse off the water that touched the tumma. So that's not called removing tumma from your hands. That's like washing your hands under the sink. So and he has thousands of those. He was one of the biggest Marbitzei Torah. Also, indirectly, in all the articles for him, they quote him in any topic he discussed, he's quoted in all the Yerushalmi. He's on the page of the Yerushalmi, right? The Oz V'Hadar Yerushalmi, the newest Yerushalmi, they put his parish Yerushalmi on the page while he was alive. That's not standard. So as a Marbitz Torah, thousands of... What?
The Derech
Emunah. The Derech Emunah says, sure. Sure, yeah. And people quote him all the time. The Shach, there was a whole discussion why people, a lot of people did Kriya when he was Nifter, but most people didn't. So there are two reasons why you could have done Kriya. One is he was the Gadol Hador, and Tosfos says on the Gadol Hador you do Kriya. And also on a big Talmud Chacham, the Shach HaZalashon, if you know everything, even you know Maseches Kala, he was fine on Maseches Kala. And number two, the Shach says that people are Yodeya Mishmuotav. People know his teachings. Everyone knows his teachings. Everyone, because he's quoted in all the Sfarim. In all the Sfarim that are out there, on every topic, there are, his teachings are there. I just gave you one. There are hundreds, thousands of examples like that. Aside from the Sfarim he wrote that people use. Today when I was driving to Yeshiva, I was listening to Rabbi Zbulovsky Shlita, a Shira on Shemitah, and during Shemitah, everyone learns Derech Emunah. And so Rabbi Zbulovsky quoted a Halacha L'Maaseh Tzedakah he gave in Tinek about beats that were Safek Kedusha Shvi'ith. This really happened today. I mean, he didn't give a shiur today, but he listened today, and about what, and he did it based on Rabbi Chaim's Eidus about what the Chazon Ish did. So he's one of the biggest Yodea Mishmuosav out there, one of the biggest, and for whatever the reason, the minute is most people didn't do Kriya, whatever the reason is, you can go online and they're sharing about that. But he's a major, major marv. Everyone uses the Sfarim all the time. Okay. And Lamaisa, the Orchus Yosher, that we'll get to later, that sefer was published. The Orchus Yosher was a Hebrew sefer, like a Musar HaSefer, this thick, Rav Chaim put out many years ago. People learned it. Then our school said, let's do it right. So they took the Orchus Yosher, they translated it, and they put stories in between each chapter. This is an amazing sefer. I'm telling you, get the sefer. The stories are amazing. I had a Talmud once. He said, Rabbi, I'm not davening well. I said, okay, we're doing the Orchus Yosher test. Go out to the Mepesa, take the Orchus Yosher, and read his section on tefillah. And he did. He came back with ideas and this, and I'm telling you, I call it the Orchus Yosher test. Anything you're working on, you open up here. It's in the Aleph Bay's order. It's an amazing sefer. And so this Tafka everyone uses. But he's a major Marvit Torah. Everyone quotes him all the time. And in all these Svarim, these little shy answers, a lot of these answers are like, these are the Hachra that everyone quotes. Everyone quotes them all the time. That's number three. Yes. Number four, a life of Pashtus. He lived, came out with no Gashmias. He had to be there. His apartment was 2.5 bedrooms. 2.5 bedrooms. He raised 8 kids in 2.5 bedrooms. And you saw his house. Everyone saw his house. That was part of it. You come here, the person in the Kotor Kula, Yisha Chesed. That's why it's called the Kodosh HaKadoshi, because he had such little Gashmias in his. There's a famous, famous story. Rich people wanted to make him have a more pleasant apartment, give him a bigger apartment. And his wife said no. And the reason she gave was, a lot of people in Israel, and Kailil, trying to make ends meet, struggling, have a small apartment, a lot of kids, and it's hard for them. When they see that we have 8 kids in a 2.5-bedroom apartment, it gives them chizuk. And if we get a nice apartment, who's going to give them chizuk? And that's why she said no. You hear that? That's an amazing story. Oh, that's part of the influence. Every person realized he was entering a place of Ruchnius and Kedusha. But what Bianski said, he was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So this is, we'll get to more later. One lesson to learn is, we can make do with a little bit less, maybe. A little bit less than we have with Gashmius. Once you see Reb Chaim. Okay. Number five. Reb Chaim was normal. He interacted with people in a normal way. He had a sense of humor. He spoke to people. People went there for Shabbos. He told stories at the table. He told jokes at the table. They told a beautiful story. He'd always eat together at lunch and dinner with his wife. He wouldn't eat if she wasn't eating. He got home. If food wasn't ready, he'd learn until she was ready to eat. That's one of the many ways he showed kavod for his wife. He played games with his kids. Now, it's not the games that we play with our kids. His son describes the games they would play on Friday night. They would play 2 games. One game was, this is on one of the sheets that I gave to you, one game was that his house was his room was filled with wall-to-wall with Sfarim. So they would take out a random safe and ask him, where is it in the house? On the shelf, exactly. Oh, the third shelf up, you know, four books over. He knew where it was. And the second game was, there's a famous set of Sfarim called Micho Mamarim U'Piskamim. It's all the statements of Shas in alphabetical order. And they'd read it to him, and he would finish it and tell them where it was, you know, where it was in Shas, in Chazal. These were games they played Friday night. Oh yeah, there's a mashal. Rav Steinman said, don't be surprised that Rav Chaim knew where all the Sfarim were. Rav Chaim knows, you know, the word Tanu Rabbanan. He gave a mashal. It's a very good mashal. If you run a makolet and someone says, oh, I want to buy, where can I find the I want to buy candles. Oh, go to the third row by on the shelf over there, because you know, so for Rav Chaim, Shas and his Sfarim were his makolet. That's a Steinman's mashal. That's a good mashal. So he knew where everything was. What? Yeah?
I can do that with the English books.
Very good. Okay. MS. So now you have a mashal. The next time you go home, that's the mashal. The nimshal is Reb Chaim.
I'm working on the Sfarim library.
Okay, good. Now, he cared about people's ruchnias. He smiled all the... I have a friend who went to him, and Reb Chaim got the misimpression that my friend wants to be tested on Shas. Like, woo, a massive smile. And the guy, oh no, but he's okay, fine. And then he was back to a regular smile. But it was embarrassing, but it was funny. Like, my friend was happy to see that smile. In other words, if someone's being tested on Shas, just, you know, Reb Chaim, because he cared about people's yeruchnias. Now, he was normal. Listen to me. Reb Chaim spent a lot of time with his kids. Oh, the Gedolim don't have time. They don't raise it. What? He learned, his son said, he learned all of Shas with each of his kids by their bar mitzvah. That takes time. Did our parents spend that much time with us for our bar mitzvah? He wasn't playing ball with them. He was learning Shas with them. Of course he spent time with his kids. And I'm sure when you're going through Shas, you're giving different hadracha. That's what he said. He learned Shas with all of his kids before their bar mitzvah. He was very involved with his children. He wasn't involved. No, we were involved in the way he wasn't doing carpool and he wasn't whatever. But he was very involved. Just a normal person in how he went through, except that he spent all his time learning every free second. Number six, the Levaya was one of the biggest Kiddush Hashems in Israel. Everyone's watching. Most of the coverage of the secular coverage was positive. Well, half a million people saying Shema together. The whole country saw that. Saying Slichos together, you know, at the Levaya they said Slichos. Massive Kiddush Hashem. Everyone went to Rav Chaim. Religious, non-religious, and there's a video. I want to watch the video now for 2 minutes. You brought your phone? We'll watch it right now. Guys, this video is a classic video because this happened. Everything is about thousands of times. Everyone went to Reb Chaim. Most thousands, and listen carefully, then I'll watch the video. Thousands and thousands and thousands of non-standard religious Jews, meaning they're either Chiloni or Mesorati, loved him. Because he gave them chizuk. They came in. He didn't care. He spoke to them and he gave them chizuk. So there's a story here we're going to watch now quickly. Wait, before you play it. This is a person, Lo Aleinu. He has one son who was killed 2 years ago on Lag BaOmer by, they call them terrorists. They're murderers. What? It's a very important video. And so this guy spoke about what it was like. And they said, wait, we have to understand. He's being interviewed on a standard, secular, regular TV station the day of the Levaya. You know, so this is being watched by regular non-religious people in Israel. Okay, here, so play it, and then we'll. And I'm gonna want it to be loud enough. And then after, I'm gonna say what it says. He speaks in Hebrew, the English subtitles. It's worth saying this. On the day of the Levaya.
הנכד שלו, ינקי, אמר לו, סבא, אתה יודע מי זה? הוא אמר לו, הוא עשה לו ככה עם היד, אמר לו, זה אבא של גיבור ישראל. זה מדהים, הידע שלו, מי אני? אני ניגשתי אליו, ואז הייתי עם הדיסקית ככה. והוא מישש את הדיסקית, והתחיל לבכות. ביטף לי את הפנים, והתחיל לבכות, ואמר לי, אני רוצה שתדע שהבן שלך נמצא הכי קרוב, אני מצטט עכשיו, הכי קרוב לכיסא המלכות. ואז הוא אמר לי, אתה יודע שהבן שלך נמצא יחד עם רבי שמעון בר יוחאי ורבי עקיבא. אני מזכיר לכם שעמית נפל, יערה, את יודעת טוב, כי את היית אצלנו בשבעה, שעמית נפל בל"ג בעומר, יום ההילולה של רבי שמעון בר יוחאי, וזה היה כל כך גדול הדבר הזה. אני נוסע ממנו, ונוסע לתחנת דלק, פה ברמת גן, מתדלק את האוטו, וניגשה אליי איזה גברת, והיא אמרה לי שלום אבא של עמית, אמרתי לה שלום, היא אומרת לי, אתה יודע שחלמתי חלום? אמרתי, למה חלם? היא אמרה לי, חלמתי שעמית נמצא הכי קרוב לכיסא המלכות, ורבי שמעון בר יוחאי ורבי עקיבא נמצאים לידו. תקשיבו טוב, אני צעקתי ככה בשמיים, אמרתי לו, מה אתה רוצה ממני? מה אתה רוצה ממני?
אוקיי. Now, that's in a beautiful, powerful video he gave us. This happened thousands of times. Thousands of times. People loved him. He gave chizuk. You came in there. Everyone went to him. I went to Reb Chaim for different things. He gave me chizuk. He gave me brachas. Everyone went to Reb Chaim. Everyone. Thousands of people. I didn't care. Whoever came in.
He gave chizuk for the father of the soldier, Walden, who was murdered, and he gave him chizuk. And he said he's sitting right near the Kisei HaKavod, right near Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay. Now, okay, so that's part one.
I just wanted to add a few more stories that relate to things that we discussed. First of all, this notion that
the idea that the Gedolim aren't involved in raising their children is just not true. They're very involved in their own way.
It's ridiculous. Reb Chaim had time for all of the quote-unquote normal things. His grandson says that the father, meaning Reb Chaim's son, said that Reb Chaim would always come to Cheder to, you know, talk to the Rebbeim. Quote, my father remembers how his Rebbeim would be very excited when Saba would come with him to Cheder. He did all the things that a normal person does. Of course he was very involved with his kids. He was very involved with his grandkids in his own way. One of his grandsons says the following. He would often end up davening in shul with Reb Chaim, in the later min shul. And he said, it would be Mariv, and he said that at the end of davening, Reb Chaim would take a piece of paper, pull off a little piece, and write a note to my father, meaning the father is the father of the grandson and the son of Reb Chaim. And he would write, Aryeh Daven nicely today, every single day. And he said that his father has hundreds of those little papers. That's amazing. That's great nonverbal communication. You write a paper. It shows you take an interest. It shows you love your grandson. You care about him. It's also chizuk for the father, meaning for the son, who's the father. It's an amazing story. And he says that once he wrote, today he wasn't focused. Meaning even that he wrote to the father once. So Reb Chaim was very involved in his own way with his kids and his grandkids and as all the Gdolim are, each one in his own way. Beautiful, beautiful story. And just two more ideas. Reb Chaim would daven for Hatzlacha in learning. My Rebbe Rav Shech Deshrita always says you have to daven for Hatzlacha in everything. When the Gemara Nida says, what should you do to be matzliach in this? Do this, this, and you daven. Rav Shechter once said that before he gives a shir, he says it's tefillah to Hashem for hatzlacha in the shir. You have to daven for hatzlacha in learning. So his grandkids tell a story that when Reb Chaim would finish one esrei, he would take out a piece of paper with his personal requests, and then he put it away. What was it? He would write things like, I want to finish this sefer, or I want to learn this sefer. Sometimes he would cry when he read it. That's amazing. Reb Chaim, he davened for the extra hatzlacha in Siyata Deshma. Everyone needs help in the Siyata Deshma in learning. And if Reb Chaim was davening, we should for sure be davening for hatzlacha in learning. Very important. And finally, this is beautiful. Mamish beautiful. Reb Chaim was known for working on the often less well-known topics in Torah. And there's a concept, it's actually quoted from in the Sipur Sefer, that if you learn at a time when fewer people are learning, at the less common times, you get even extra Siyata Deshmaya. The idea is there's a certain amount of shefa that comes from Shemayim, and it's divided up amongst all those that are learning. And if you're learning, when fewer people are learning, you get this extra shefa. So it's very interesting. Reb Chaim, we know, did not write a tzavah, but the last letter he put his name to signed by him and Yibadu Chaim Rav Edelstein Shlita, of Chizuk during the days of Purim. During the days of Purim. Meaning that's the time a few people learn. It's more lax. So it's interesting. The last thing Rav Chaim put his name to was encouraging people to learn at the lax times. Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos, things like that. Purim, Vanas Manim. So that Taka is a very fitting closure for Reb Chaim's life, the encouragement to not only learn at the regular times, but to even learn at the less common times when there is it's more lax and you be zochet to more tziyata d'shmaya. Okay, there are many more stories, but we'll stop here.